Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Game week 10 belonged to Leicester and the shambles that is video assistant refereeing. First it was De Bruyne, then it was Silva. Arsenal fans couldn't believe what they were seeing. Is it time to fill our squads with penalty takers? Not if they are from United. Luca Dean put it in his own net, and Graham Potter looked delighted. Sheffield United battled to another draw. Pulisic, like Perez and Vardy, scored three. It was another weekend of surprises, although Liverpool still sit top of the tree. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Beautiful.
How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, Rich?
I'm very tired. We don't usually record this early in the morning, do we?
It's 9:28 a.m.
That's normal.
Ben turned up at 9 a.m. I'm an actor. You're a radio presenter who does all sorts of different hours. This isn't like us, is it? This is like proper working hours.
I don't usually see the morning. I usually get up about 12:30. So I don't know. So it's just, yeah, uncomfortable. But let's do it anyway. We're up. We can complain about FPL.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think, yeah, there might be a little bit more of that this week. How did you do?
I had a bad week, which is kind of disappointing because I spent so much time perfecting my wild card for the last game week. But mate, there is red arrows all over the shop. Out of the 10 leagues that I'm in, I've got two grey dots to say that I've not moved, and I think those leagues have about four players in them, which just shows how poorly my week's gone. I think I was 160,000 or something like that at the beginning of the game week, and by the end of the game week, overall, I dropped to 444,636.
Ooh.
That is a big red arrow.
Ouch.
Big red arrow.
How many points did you get?
I got 40 points overall, so 9 points below the average.
And which actually...
the highest points was 138. I'm so far off the boil there.
Yeah, but I think that shows just how close it is. The fact that you only got 9 below the average and you had such a big drop... it's still really close. I mean, at one stage, I think I said to you two, didn't I, that after when Spurs were 1-0 up, I was up to just over 300k, and once that game had finished, I was back down to 500k. So yeah. it's such fine margins. You know, if Son hadn't hit the bar, for instance, when he went round Alisson, I'd have had a green arrow. You know, if I'd have captained Sterling, I'd have had a green arrow. Like, I think this weekend in particular was one because of Leicester and kind of a few of the erratic things that happened. If you did get below that average, you're getting a big red arrow because there's lots of people. You know, Vardy was about 15-20% owned before the start of the game week. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you look at like the start of the season as well. Obviously, so many people drop off playing FPL as the season goes on. And if you'd have thought at the start of the season, so many people would have had Salah, they would have had Sterling, they would have had Vardy. So many of these zombie teams just sat there, would have been picking up these points, as we've talked about in past past podcasts, how it's so unpredictable. These players who've just been dotted around at the start of the season, who've maybe done one game week and then forgotten about it, like office leagues and that sort of thing, they'll be bumping up the league table. Like, your zombie team is doing almost as well as your actual team. Right,
I think it's better now. Yeah, I think my zombie team, which I entered into the Who Got the Assist Zombie League, where you pick your team and you're not allowed to make any changes, otherwise they boot you out of the league. And yeah, I think I'm about 300k. I think with the zombie team, and my actual team's 500k.
Right.
Yeah, I had Vardy, I had Perez, I had Salah. It's madness. And yeah, no changes. The team's just sat there and it's doing better than the team I've spent all this time on.
Maybe we should do that next season. Just do a zombie team and just leave it all season and just... It'll be so less stressful if we just did that.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because I think even if my zombie team did do really well and got into the top 100k or whatever, I still wouldn't really want to claim any credit for it because you're just not playing the game properly then, and you've got lucky effectively. Well, I suppose you haven't because you've picked a team for the whole season, but you've certainly got lucky with injuries and things like that. And, you know, so I'm hoping that that isn't the case at the end of the season. And actually,
so how's it?
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, go on, mate, finish point.
No, I was just going to go into how I did this week. So,
oh yeah, I was going to ask that. So,
all right, okay, cool. So,
we're on the same wavelength.
So nice, so nice.
Took 11
game
weeks.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I'm actually quite positive about my team, despite another red arrow. I got 50 points, and like I say, it was fine margins this week. It's not like I had, you know, a 25, 30 point week and I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my team? A lot, you know, a few of my players returned. Jamal Lascelles basically single-handedly saved my game week with his 10 pointer.
Who predicted that?
I really liked Newcastle's form at home in terms of goals they were conceding. I think they've only conceded... I think when they've been playing at home, they haven't conceded more than one goal this season. So I liked that stat. And obviously, Jamal Lascelles is the captain. He pops up now and again with a goal. It was his first goal in 58 appearances. And it was the week that I put him in. So finally, I got a bit of luck.
What are the chances of that? That is outrageous.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And if they'd have kept a clean sheet, I would have got a green arrow. If Son hadn't hit the bar, I would have got a green arrow. And I captained Aguero for the last time this season.
Oh, no.
I captained Aguero. He came on, he got 1 point. I've got Sterling and De Bruyne in my team. De Bruyne was my vice. If I'd have captained De Bruyne, I'd have got a green arrow probably. If I'd have captained Sterling, I'd have got a green arrow. So that is the last time that I made that mistake with Aguero. I've been speaking about him for the last four or five weeks. And he's still in my team. Yeah. I've already made my moves this week and I've taken him out because I can't handle that benching again. I don't even care. I don't care if he scores 5 against Southampton. I'm still happy that he's out of my team because it's been horrendous the last few weeks, that Pep roulette.
It's just agonising to see, isn't it? Like I still he obviously has a thing for Jesus, doesn't he, Pep? But I just think Aguero's still at least 10 times the striker that Jesus is. So I don't see why he's opting for Jesus when you got Aguero, who's one of the greatest Premier League strikers of all time and Manchester City's all-time leading goal scorer. And he's still got miles in him as well. So, very strange. But yeah, a feel for your FPL team. But the bigger news is you're only 3 points behind me now.
Am I only 3 points behind? Right, okay. Just so it could all change behind this week. And I'm confident about this week, especially now I've made my transfers. Although I have broke one of my golden rules and I made them on Sunday night because I was just so concerned about the two players that I've brought in, their prices going up this week.
Should we move on to our first talking point, shall we?
Yeah, so talking points this week, we've got three. First one, of course, is Leicester. Can Lightning strike twice? Second talking point, are Manchester United back? And are they back for good? And the final one is penalty takers. Now, VAR changed their parameters quite obviously this weekend. Does that mean... I mean, we'll go on to this. It's crazy times right now with all that stuff. Will that mean that we should put penalty takers in our team? Are more penalties going to be given? We'll discuss that a bit more. So first, Leicester, can Lightning strike twice?
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
All right, so let's talk about Leicester. Probably had the surprise result of the weekend. I don't think many people saw that 9-0 away win at St Mary's coming. Luke, do you reckon they could score 9 goals again against Crystal Palace this game week?
No, absolutely not. I think, you know, although I have moved to bring Jamie Vardy in, and I'm going to sound like the whole of FPL Twitter right now and when saying I was so close to bringing him in for this game week.
That's the same.
Which I was. I was very... I mean, I only had one transfer. I decided to roll it in the end. I was going to take a -4 and make the moves. I mean, I've put Vardy and Martial in my team already this for next week, but they're the moves that I was going to make, and I didn't. And you know, I missed out again on a hat trick. My only worry is I brought Pukki in after his hat trick. I brought Abraham in after his hat trick. I've brought Vardy in straight after his hat trick. It does feel like I'm chasing points, but at the same time, I think, well, he's the form striker. He's the top FPL point scorer now. Everybody's going to be rushing to get him in. Why not get him in as quickly as you can rather than waiting and going? You've got to go with form and fixtures. Leicester have got good fixtures as well. But no, they're not going to score another 9 goals. You know, it's only ever happened twice in Premier League history. They've equaled United's record, and they beat Ipswich 9-0 all those years ago. And I think it was mainly due to the horrendous defensive performance of Southampton. They went down to 10 men and they just absolutely went to pieces, didn't they? I think, you know, there was an article written on Fantasy Football Scout by David Munday who was saying, you know, it was like watching non-league defending. It was that bad.
Yeah.
So
it was one of those games though where you see like Manchester United, I've had them in the past where they say, oh, you know, they won 4-0, but it so easily could have been 8, 9, or 10. This is one of them occasions where it just happened. Like, Leicester had a lot of shots, a lot more than Southampton, but they only had 25 in the end. Like, I've been to Everton games where they've drawn 0-0 and Everton have had 30 shots, and 15 of them were on target. So to execute 9 of them is just quite remarkable, really. I think it's just all down to the players playing the way Brendan Rodgers likes to play. I mean, you look at the players who scored in that game. I think they did it on Match of the Day. Most of their players, I think, were under the age of 23, apart from like Jamie Vardy. So they just got so much energy and like desire to like play attacking football. And yeah, it just must be. This is it. Basically, watching Leicester is exactly how I want to watch Everton to play. Just a team you can be proud of watching, who play the most attractive, attacking, exciting football. And in terms of FPL, I think you've got to be loading your side with Leicester players, really. I mean, you look at the other guy who scored a hat-trick, Perez. You were calling him at the start of the season, weren't you? He's took his time to get ready. But would you be considering Perez floating back into your team? He seems to be playing up front alongside Jamie Vardy. He's almost like a 4-4-2 in a way. Would you consider him again?
No, I wouldn't be considering him yet. He'd have to do it again for consistently for a few weeks before I considered bringing him back in.
But is this the gamble that you'd have to take though? Because you keep saying you're chasing like the form curve, if you will. Is this just the start maybe of Perez's upwards curve? Maybe now's the time to get him in and he could start banging in a few whilst they've got, like you say, this good run.
It could be a gamble to take. It's too much of a gamble for me right now. I think I've made my gamble with Martial, actually. I would say he's less than 5% owned still, so it's like trying to catch him before as I think he'll probably go on an upward curve. But yeah, with Perez, I think it's one performance against the worst defensive performance for, you know, since probably the Premier League began. So you've got to remember that. And I think Vardy, the likes of Vardy and Maddison, are much more tried and trusted than him. But as I say, I wouldn't, you know, say don't bring Perez in, but I won't be myself. What about you?
I mean, it's like you said a minute ago, like, I'd love to get Vardy in. I just don't have the budget for him at the moment. But like you say, Southampton had the most shocking of defensive performances. They've got to go to the Etihad in their next game. Now, you could argue that it can't get any worse for Southampton, but if you could pick one of two sides to play in your next game, you wouldn't pick either Manchester City or Liverpool after just getting thrashed 9-0 at home. So I'm just looking at Manchester City's attacking options rather than Leicester at the moment. I don't think it's going to be another 9-0 against Crystal Palace. I think Roy Hodgson's sides tend to be a little bit more well-organised. And I think after Roy would have seen that 9-0 victory, I think he'll be keeping his Crystal Palace side a lot more organised, a lot more strictly defensive for this game week. But I'd love to get Jamie Vardy in if I had the budget. It was a toss-up a couple of weeks ago between Vardy and Callum Wilson. And Callum Wilson, who's been in great form, and Bournemouth, who haven't been in great defensive form because they've just been going forward, all of a sudden have had two clean sheets and haven't scored a goal. So I made the wrong call there. I have to hold my hand up. But yeah, if I could pick anybody, it'll be Jamie Vardy. Like you say, he's just top goal scorer. He's done it pretty much every season he's been in the Premier League. Yeah, he'd be my my pick out of anybody in blue for Leicester, really.
Yeah, and I can't see myself taking him out for the rest of the season now. I think Leicester are going to have a very, very good season. I can't see that changing too much. And I think with Vardy, even if he does blank for a couple of weeks in a row, there'd be no point taking him out because, you know, unless Leicester's form dips considerably, I think Vardy's going to be there or thereabouts, top scorer at the end of the season, isn't he? He's just, since Rodgers took over, he's just consistently banged them in. He's the top scorer in the league since Rodgers took over. And he was the top scorer in the league since Rodgers took over before his hat trick. So I think, he's probably just going to sit in my team for the rest of the season now, which is a really nice feeling, actually.
Yeah, fair enough. What do you think about Chilwell? Would you have Chilwell on your side? He got his first goal of the season. He's only 5.5 million and he gets forward quite a lot for a left back. He properly, like, really, really reminds me of Leighton Baines. Like, he's like the same kind of build. He's not the fastest, but he's got an incredible left foot. Would he be somebody you'd consider dropping into your defence? I think you've got Soyuncu, haven't you, in your defence?
Yeah, I've got Soyuncu, and I brought him in when he was at 4.5 million. I think he's at 4.7 or 4.8 now, so I'm quite happy to stick with him, although, because I wouldn't want to double up on Leicester's defence, I don't think, because clean sheet wise they're not as good as, say, Liverpool and City, or, you know, the slightly bigger teams. But then again, you know, not many are keeping clean sheets this season. I think if you've got someone like, you know, who's 6.5-7 million, like Alexander Arnold or Robertson, and you want to downgrade them, Chilwell would be a great option to save some money, along with Pereira as well, who surprisingly didn't get any attacking returns, did he, against Southampton? But Chilwell's a good option, definitely. Have you got any Leicester defenders?
Yeah, I've just got Soyuncu sat there at the back, 4.7 million he's on now. He's just a pretty solid defender, isn't he? I mean, it's kind of annoying, everyone raving about Leicester players, because they were the early kickoff, I think, weren't they? The Friday night kickoff. And I think the guy at one point who was top in the world had like 54 points off just three players or something like that. It was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, Soyuncu just sat at the back there, getting me 6 points here or there. But yeah, it's just a cheap Leicester option. If you want to get somebody in who's dirt cheap, then Soyuncu's got to be your pick at the back, really. I mean, just looking at Leicester's players, it's just been the same players over and over again. They haven't rotated at the back, like, hardly at all. Like, they've got Pereira, Chilwell, Evans, Soyuncu, and then just like Fuchs, who I can't remember making an appearance, and Morgan, who's obviously made like one substitute appearance like the last few minutes or something like that. So yeah, I think Soyuncu is probably the best choice out of them all, to be honest, and he's only 4.7, whereas Evans 5.1, Chilwell 5.5, and Pereira 6.3. Yeah, I think he's just a good player to have in at the back, to be honest. Like, an actual defender who can defend.
Good. Yeah, well, I think that just about covers our thoughts on Leicester. I think to sum up, I would say don't go mad on them. Remember how bad that defensive performance was. 9-0s are certainly not going to happen every week. But Jamie Vardy, for me, is the man. And Chilwell's a good option. Madison's a good option. Tielemans, Perez, you know, they do all look good. But yeah, I would personally exercise caution, and you're saying get them in.
Vardy number one choice, Soyuncu second choice.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at Triple Captain 3.
So, speaking of big away wins, Manchester United had a big one, didn't they, at Norwich? So should we talk about Manchester United? Are they back? I don't think they are.
Yes, let's talk about Man United. I was delighted with the performance against Norwich. Again, like, I think this is probably a theme of my FPL tactics, I suppose, or my attitude towards FPL is, again, exercise caution with United. Although there is one guy that I've brought in, and that's Anthony Martial, and that is because of his fantastic record of goal involvement per 90 minutes. I think over the last kind of three or four seasons, when he's been on the pitch, and granted he hasn't been on the pitch as much as a lot of other players in the league, when he's been playing, when he starts, he performs very, very well, and gets an attack in return very often. And that is consistently over the last kind of 3-4 seasons since he's been at United. He's had a bit of bad luck with injuries, so that could be a problem. If he gets injured again, you kind of go, well, he's too much of a risk to put in now because I've got to take him out again. But how consistent he is, I mean, they showed us the stat on Match of the Day as well, that in the 13 starts he's made since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took over, United have won 10 of those matches. And when he hasn't played, I think they've only won about 2 or 3. So he makes a massive difference to the team. And Ben and I were saying, weren't we, a few weeks ago, that once he comes back, once him and Pogba are back, United will improve. And that's happened. You know, Wan-Bissaka's back, Lindelof's back, Martial's back. And there's been an improvement. You know, they improved against Liverpool and they really improved against Norwich. Granted, it was Norwich, but for a United fan that's suffered all season with terrible performances, it was a really, really good to see. I mean, they missed 2 penalties as well. So, yeah. You know, if Martial and Rashford had scored their penalties, they would have had a lot of points this game week. As it was that, you know, they had -2 off their scores and still did okay. So I don't think United are back for good. I think for the next few fixtures, they're probably going to win a few games, I think, if Martial stays fit and with Pogba coming back. So
yeah.
If I was going to pick a player, it would be Martial, although Rashford looks great as well.
They got better at dodging, haven't they?
This weekend?
That Daniel James one was absolutely, it's just outrageous.
We'll talk about VAR with the third talking points. We'll move swiftly away from Daniel James now. yeah, what do you think? Are you looking at anyone from United to bring in, or do you think wait and see?
I'm still not 100% sure. Like you say, like, Martial is probably the guy you've got to bring in. I think if they play Martial down the middle, I think that's where Martial's best placed. And Rashford may not like it, but he's going to get pushed out wide. You watch Manchester United more than me, so you'll probably have an opinion on that. But I think Martial does better through the middle. If he's playing out wide, we know he loves that cutting from the left and try and get his shot away. But I don't know. I just think he's better through the middle, and he's probably the best centre-forward choice at Manchester United at the minute. I'm just concerned. I had this issue with Hudson-Odoi a few weeks ago, where he was starting to, like, drip into the team, like, get a few minutes here and there. Like, is he going to be able to start 2 games in a week? That sort of thing. I don't know if he'll start again at Bournemouth, but I suppose at Manchester United, they haven't really got any other attacking options. So he may be in there, but I'm still not 100% certain whether he'll start or not at Bournemouth. Do you reckon he'll be a guaranteed starter in that game? That's my only concern about him.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think now he's back and played, I think, 75 minutes against Norwich. I think Solskjaer has to start him. We badly need wins. And it shows how tight the league is at the moment, that we went from 2 points above the relegation zone to 7th with 1 victory. and I think there's about 5 or 6 teams that are all on 13 points. So we badly need wins still at the moment. So if he benched Martial, he'd be mad at the moment, particularly after him and Rashford linked up so well. And I think he'll be starting number 9. Again, on Match of the Day, they were showing the positions he was getting into and just how much better United are when he's there as part of that attacking lineup. He was making runs. He was running into channels. He was feeding Rashford. He just looked really, really good. And again, exercise caution. It was against Norwich, but over the last few seasons, like I say, consistently he's been one of the best players in the league for attacking returns when he plays. Yeah. So,
I mean, he's definitely a good one to get in, because I think Bournemouth, it's probably going to be a very open game, because Norwich, they don't tend to change their style. They play their game against whoever, and that's why they lost against Manchester United, because United's players are significantly better than Norwich's players. Like Norwich's back line, who on earth have Norwich got in their back line now? They've got so many injuries, it's so unlucky. Whereas Bournemouth don't have too many injuries, and they've got slightly better players than Norwich. And they've also got, well, weirdly, they've not been able to score over the past few weeks, but they've been able to defend, so who knows what it's going to be like. But I've got a feeling there's going to be quite a lot of goals in this game. And I think if Martial was to play, there'd be significantly more, and I feel like Martial probably could be the difference between the two sides at the weekend. Maybe a 3-2, or maybe even a 4-3. I might go for loads of goals in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, particularly after the last 2 performances. This is this is going to be a really enticing game to see. Can United keep up this form? Is it a couple of game boost, and then are they going to go back to how they were before? I think if Pogba comes back, then it's really positive. But I don't know how far he is away from returning to the team.
Yeah.
But I mean, what about the cover of Pez, Scott McTominay scoring his fourth of the season?
He's a legend. Oh my God. I think he'd be Everton's top scorer if he played for us. How annoying is that?
I've been I was annoying Liverpool fans at work the whole of last week just by very quietly going Scott McTominay as he dominated Jordan Henderson in the midfield at Old Trafford.
Honestly, I think he's been your best player this season.
Yeah, I agree. Great. I agree. Yeah, he's been class. It's time to start taking McTominay a little bit more seriously.
Okay. Rich. He's the cover star of Pro Evo. Come
he's
on,
a star of Pro Evo. You know, he's the next Jorginho. also, just quickly, what shall I do with Teemu Pukki, Rich? I've already made my moves this week, so he's staying for another week. They've got decent fixtures. In the back of my mind, I just think surely he's going to start scoring again. Because how can you have such a good start to Premier League life and drop off so dramatically? Do you think I'm mad to keep him in the team?
I don't think you're mad. I think you're
hopeful.
I can see why you'd... I think you're, yeah, hopeful. Yeah, let's go with that. I just think it's... when a championship team gets promoted to the Premier League, they're kind of like riding a wave of I mean, they won the championship last season, playing very good, attractive football, and you just can't play that kind of football week in, week out. All right, they got their big win over Manchester City, but I kind of feel like reality's hit home a little bit now for Norwich, and this is like Premier League life. They're not going to be pushing for European positions. They are going to be, you know, in and around the relegation candidates for the rest of the season. And Pukki could well be the player who keeps them up, but I don't think he's going to get into double figures for the season. I said this when he started to turn his form around. It'd be nice to see him get double figures, don't get me wrong, but I just feel as if they were riding that wave of enthusiasm coming up into the Premier League, and I just kind of feel like it's hit home now. Like, it's sunk in. They're into Premier League life. You know, we're going into game week 11. They've played lots of Premier League football now. They know what it's about, and yeah, I think defenders in the Premier League are starting to get Teemu Pukki's number a little bit. So I've not had him all season, and I don't think I'll be bringing him in over the next coming weeks, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, fixture wise they've got Brighton, Watford, Everton, Arsenal, Southampton and Sheffield United, which are good fixtures. But I am inclined to agree with you. I've not really seen, I mean, he has about one chance a game, doesn't he?
And I think Norwich have got quite a lot of injuries as well, so he doesn't have the normal players behind him who'd be able to supply that quality. So it's a bit unfortunate, really, that Pukki's suffering because Norwich are suffering.
Although, Ben, you're thinking about maybe bringing Pukki in, aren't you?
I think the Pukki party is about to get a second wind. Everyone came.
Is this the after Pukki party?
Pukki party. Everyone came and they got absolutely trolleyed. They had the best night of their life. Then it does have that inevitable dip where everyone's a bit knackered. But don't you worry, Teemu Pukki's going to come back in with a bottle of Oddy, and we're going to see the next 3 weeks in particular, I think, because he can do it. We've seen him.
He can. That's what I'm thinking.
And because so many people are getting him out this week, he's one of the most transferred out players already this game week. And I just think that I'm going to wait, I think, until Friday, let his price drop, and then get him in for this week. And I'm going to swap Firmino for him.
I think you're...
Firmino? What?
Yeah, Firmino, since I've got him in. You know what you were saying earlier, Rich, about how you were, you know, weighing up between Callum Wilson and Vardy? Well, right, 4 weeks ago, I was weighing up between Firmino and Vardy. What's Vardy gone and done? He's scored hat-tricks. He's the most, you know, most points of the whole bloody game. What's Firmino done the last... Well, for me, the last 4 weeks, he scored 2, 2, 2, and then 4, because I put the captain armband on him for this weekend as well. So, I'm gonna get Pukki in.
Is this just, you've got a little bit of a thing for Pukki? Because you discovered him first. He was the diamond in the rough, wasn't he, who you discovered? Yeah. So I just think this might be a bit of a romantic decision, bringing Pukki back in, rather than a head decision.
It's not based on anything, is it? It's based on pure...
How do you know? he might have texted me. Me and Pukki are mates.
His underlying stats are pretty terrible as well, I think. And Norwich are awful. But yeah, I'm just riding the wave, because I had to get Aguero out of my team, and I got Cantwell out as well. So, I mean, Aguero out and Cantwell out with Vardy in and Martial in, I think was more important for me than getting rid of Pukki this week. Although, you know, Aguero probably will score a hat-trick against Southampton now. But I honestly wouldn't care, because it has been horrible having him there. You know, he started one out of the last four games, I think it is, which is just horrendous for a 12 million striker. I can't be dealing with that.
Can I just make a quick prediction?
Yes.
I love a bit of alliteration. Pukki, a brace at Brighton.
Yeah, mate, if you want to put Pukki in your team, go for it. I need to start catching up to you. So.
Triple Captain. Email your voice note questions to triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
Let's go on to talking point three, which is penalty takers. Should we start rushing to get penalty takers in? I mean, maybe not from United, who can't score penalties anymore. I don't know what is going on there.
Yeah. They didn't know who their first choice penalty taker is either.
Yeah, well, no, they don't. The VAR was clearly changed this week. They'd gone from zero penalties overturned in the league to, I think there was two or three or four decisions overturned this. There was a red card, wasn't there, that got changed. There was the United penalties on VAR, and the Arsenal goal got ruled out, didn't it? That third Arsenal goal. So there's obviously, the parameters have changed again. They've obviously listened to everyone going, this is crazy, you've got to overturn some.
Yeah. It was the first one in the Everton game, which was the big one, because every other penalty that had been given was that a penalty had been awarded and then it had been overturned by the video assistant referee. Whereas in the Everton-Brighton game, the penalty hadn't been given and the video assistant referee said, no, that is a penalty. So that's the first time this had happened this season, which is obviously Everton getting there, going the Blues. Always the first to do that sort of thing. But yeah, it's obviously someone's had a word with the referee or all the referees saying, you know, let the video assistant referee make decisions on penalties. And that was a clear thing there in the Brighton-Everton game anyway.
So are we going to see more? Surely we're going to see more than we've seen for the first 10 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done over 600 checks or something like that. It's something insane. And obviously, most of them would have been penalties for pulling of shirts in the penalty area and that sort of thing. So that's where the decisions tend to get made, those and offsides. So I don't know, it's so hard to gauge with VAR. Everybody's talking about it all the time on all like the phone-in radio shows and on Sky Sports News and that sort of thing. Everyone's talking about it, but no one has genuinely got any idea where VAR is going to go and what decisions are getting made. I still can't believe that the referees aren't consulting the screen at the side of the field. In my opinion, it's just taking away the control and the... basically just taking away all the control and all the responsibility that the referee on the field has, and they're giving it to some bloke who's sat in front of a monitor in Hertfordshire or whatever.
Well, I think that'll be the next thing, won't it? The next thing that they change is that the refs will start using the monitors, because it does sound like they are... I mean, it sounds like a little bit of common sense has prevailed this weekend, and they've gone, look, the bar is far too high for overturning penalties. There's stonewall penalties that aren't being given after VAR checks, which is just crazy. And also, they need to do something for the fans in the ground, don't they? Because no one has a clue what's going on. The fans that pay the money, you know, the 50, 60 quid to go and watch the games, don't have a clue what is going on. Sometimes they're overturned, sometimes they're not. I mean, the other week it said it was a goal and it wasn't a goal on the screen. Like, it's an absolute shambles. What they need to do, they need to take a leaf out of rugby's book, give the ref a microphone so we can hear what's going on, keep the fans more informed, and let the refs use the monitors and make the decisions. And then it's down to the ref, isn't it? The ref has looked and the ref has decided that this is a penalty or this isn't a penalty, rather than somebody going... Because then what argument can you have? Yeah, the ref might make the wrong call after looking at the monitor, but at least he's gone and had a look and then he's made a decision based on what he thinks.
Yeah, it's his decision. It's not the... I mean, at the end of the day, you've got assistant referees run the line, an assistant referee, a fourth official on the touchline there. And then it's VAR, video assistant referee. He's the assistant to the ref. He's not the one who's making the decisions. The clue is in the title of his job. Like, he's not the man to make the final decision. And because the referee can just hide behind doing this, and we've got no idea what's getting said, it's just... Yeah, it's something that's just not right about football at the moment. No. But... in terms of FPL, it does definitely benefit your penalty takers, especially Crystal Palace, because I'm convinced that Crystal Palace have it written somewhere in their history books that they've got to get a penalty in every game. because they just seem to get one all the time.
Well, and also nobody wins a penalty apart from Zaha. It's always Zaha wins the penalty, Milivojevic converts it. I think once Palace have got some difficult fixtures and they're coming through them very well, I think once their fixtures change, I'll be very interested in Zaha, particularly if this penalty thing carries on, because he's so tricky in the box, isn't he? And he always draws fouls. And he's not a diver. I don't think he's a diver. I think he draws the foul and he wins fouls very well.
So, well, that was one of the VAR decisions, wasn't it, over the weekend? Yeah. Like the referee,
he booked him at first, and he was so quick to book him. It was a bit silly, wasn't it? Really.
And that was I
think that was, oh, it's Zaha, I'm going to book him. Rather than that, that was definitely going through the mind.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it's worth keeping an eye on him. If this continues, then in terms of FPL, yeah, make sure that if you are picking a player, if they're on penalties, then that's a bonus, because in the next few weeks there could be more. While they sort out the latest debacle, I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it, that matches are being decided on stuff like this.
If you could pick any player. I think you've got Milivojevic in your team, haven't you?
No.
All right, okay. I mean, if you could pick like two players who apparently take us in the Premier League, Milivojevic has surely got to be one, because I don't think he costs too much. And then the other one has surely got to be Mark Noble. I think he scored like the most penalties out of any player who's currently playing in the Premier League, isn't he? I think that was a stat a few weeks ago, something like that. And I think he only cost about £5.5 million. So if you could pick like a cheap midfielder who's, you know, going to be on penalties and more than likely put it away, Mark Noble's probably got to be the guy to have in your team, really, because he more often than not grabs that ball as a captain should, and takes the penalties for West Ham. Is there anybody who stands out for you to have in your team just for the case of more VAR given penalties?
I think more about like who is going to get attacking returns and is on penalties. So the likes of Salah, Kane, Rashford perhaps, although Rashford seems to be sharing responsibilities and can't seem to score penalties. particularly Salah will be of interest to me once Liverpool's fixtures turn, and their fixtures turn in they play Villa next, obviously, which is a good fixture. Then they've got City, then after that I think from game week 13 to 21 they don't play anyone from last year's top six. I think they've just got Leicester out of the teams that are doing well this year. From game week 13 to 21, they only play Leicester. So none of last season's top six in. So I've only got Alexander Arnold at the moment. I'm gonna make sure I have two transfers for the international break, so I can get either Salah or Mane or Firmino in my team.
Good idea.
You know, maybe even look at getting Salah and Mane in long term for those fixtures. What do you think, Rich? Should we be getting Liverpool back in for that run?
Yeah, I mean, I've done my transfers for this weekend already, and I've took out Alexander Arnold just because he's not really been given the attacking return which I would have hoped that he's got, just to kind of like rejig my midfield and put more into the attack and that sort of thing. It's either going to be a toss up between Mane and Salah, and because Salah's got a bit of a knock at the moment, I think you just got to go for Mane. I mean, he got his penalty, obviously, didn't he, Salah, which is I think why so many people have overtaken us in the overall global rankings. That's what I'm going with anyway.
As Salah returns, it makes a big difference to your rank if you haven't got him.
If Liverpool have got those sort of fixtures, then you've just got to load them up. I think when Liverpool get the ball rolling as well, they're probably the best team in the world at just carrying momentum from the previous game. So the snowball just gets bigger and bigger and bigger for Liverpool. So over the next month or two, they are going to be flying high with an even better record than what they've got at the moment, I reckon, unfortunately.
Yeah, that City game is absolutely crucial for City, because if Liverpool win, then the gap's 9 points and they go into that fixture run absolutely flying. I think if they win that game, they're probably going to win the league. So I think that game is huge. If City manage to cut the gap down to 3, then suddenly it's like, oh God, are we going to lose it? And then the nerves might creep in because of that huge weight they've had for the Premier League. But if they manage to get a result there, even if they draw, it's the gap's still 6 points and they're going to that fixture run, you know, on top of the league. You can't see a team outside the top six troubling them, can you? Perhaps Leicester, but really.
Yeah. Well, they're playing Villa this weekend.
Yes, they are playing Villa this weekend, who did so well against City.
I said a few weeks ago, we wouldn't perform against City, but we will perform against Liverpool.
Is it a Villa at home as well?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah. I can't see them getting a result, but, you know, I'm sure they'll trouble them more than they did City.
See, I reckon it'll be more of a different story. I think Liverpool are going to get more goals than what City did. Sorry, Ben. Just because I think as the home team, you're expected to play a little bit more openly. And the onus is on you to try and get the 3 points, even though you are playing Liverpool. And I feel as if Villa are going to be pushing high against Liverpool, they've got one of the best defences in the league. They're also one of the best counter-attacking teams in the league.
I think it'll be the return of a Liverpool clean sheet this weekend as well.
I'll tell you why.
Because Wesley is terrible. He's not a good striker, and he can't play up front on his own. He's too slow. Look, he will never trouble Van Dijk. No way.
He's a great man. He's a great dad. listen,
he's called Wesley. Come on,
he's a great
he's Brazilian.
Dad.
He's called Wesley.
Rich, if I'm right this week and you're wrong, I'm going to take a little clip from this podcast and I'm going to send it directly to TalkSport and say, are you sure this man is not credible? He's making predictions that Liverpool are going to score more goals than Man City against Villa. Who the hell is he, and how would you let him commentate for your radio station?
All right, that's fine. I'm actually going on an American talk show after this as a pundit to complain about Everton. So,
Nice.
International pundit now. So,
excellent. Make sure you get us a mention in there.
Yeah, I'll try. I'll give it a go. But yeah, I reckon maybe 4-0 Liverpool at the weekend.
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
Good. So anybody else to mention quickly, Rich, before we wrap it up? Any players that you've got your eye on or that the listeners should watch out for?
I mean, I've made two substitutions this week, transfers rather. I've decided to bring in David Silva because I've got a feeling that Southampton are just going to sit back and try and get a draw because they just need anything from that game after the thumping that they got. So I think David Silva would be the key to unlocking that Southampton defence. And I brought in Lowton at the back for Burnley, just a cheaper defender. I think Burnley could probably get a clean sheet against Sheffield United, who I'm not really impressed with going forward. So that could be a proper 0-0 between them two.
And who have you taken out?
I got rid of Alexander-Arnold at the back, and I got rid of McGinn in the middle for Villa. So a couple of changes there. What about you?
I mean, as I've said, I've taken Aguero and Cantwell out, and Vardy and Martial have come in, which gives me a nice front seven of De Bruyne, Sterling, Son, Martial, Pukki, Vardy and Abraham, which I'm apart from Pukki, I mean, I'd love to swap him for another striker, but apart from him, I think my team, I'm pretty happy with my team as it looks right now. And I'm happy with the way I'm setting up for the next few weeks. And I'm going to have my two free transfers after Liverpool play City to bring my Liverpool assets back in. So I'm feeling pretty confident I'm finally going to get some green arrows over the next few weeks. But it remains to be seen. Captain is on Sterling at the moment. I think no point changing it. No point trying to keep changing it and chase points. It's going to stay on Sterling, as I think the majority of FPL will do for this week. And yeah, I think in terms of players that I'm looking at for the next few weeks, it's your Liverpool assets. I've got Vardy in. I probably won't get another Leicester asset in. Yeah, that's about it, I think. For me, I also think Son is going to come back to form. He's hit the bar three times in the last two games. He's hit the woodwork three times in the last two games. I think it's only a matter of time before he starts scoring again. So he is staying in my team for now. So keep your eye on Son as Spurs kind of get a bit of a renaissance. But yeah, that's about it for me. Ben, have you made any changes?
I might bring in Pukki.
He might be
Pukki or Vardy. I'm not sure.
Pukki or Vardy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pukki or Vardy? Is that seriously the question?
Sorry, what's your overall rank, Rich?
All right.
I don't like all this agginess.
But it's hard.
I'm glad.
Come on.
You know, Ben's called a few decisions right this season, and so if he thinks Pookie's going to return, I'm pretty happy to keep him in my side. And I fancy him to score against Brighton. Why not?
Brace it, Brighton.
Why not? Come on the Pookie. Let's base all our decisions on gut feeling now. I love it.
I've changed.
I'm doing so badly this season.
11 weeks in and it's all changed.
I know. But again, as I say each week, keep patience. You've picked your players for a reason. I know it seems tough at the moment, but it's so close. The scores are so close, and it only takes a Leicester 9-0 win to get you back up the rankings, which never happens, by the way. But no, it only takes a big result, one of your players to get two or three goals, and suddenly you'll be way up the rankings. So just stay calm, stay patient. It's a tough season this year, but there's 28 weeks to go.
So that's it for game week 11. Best of luck. Please, if you've enjoyed this podcast, if you listen to us on Apple, at least go and leave us a review. We're doing this off our own backs, don't make any money off it. I'd love to make some money off it, but we're not. So please, if you can, leave us in a good review and a written review if you can, please.
Yes, your support is much appreciated. Thank you to everyone who's listened so far. We want to get this out there to more people. So yeah, please subscribe. Please give us a rating on Apple, and please give us a review, and keep your questions coming in on Twitter at Triple Captain 3, Instagram, we're on there as well at Triple Captain 3. You can get me at Luke Jurdy on Instagram and Twitter, and Triple Captain at soundrebel.co.uk. And we'll be putting some more blog posts up as well on the website, which is soundrebel.co.uk/Triple Captain.
And I think we're going to start doing some more Triple Captain TV stuff as well, aren't we, over the next couple of weeks as well? So keep an eye out for that on socials. I'm at _Wolfenden as well, if you want to follow me. Can always do with an extra follower. Always welcome.
We're all right.
Great. That's it. Ben and Rich have been tussling this week, haven't they?
It's too early.
No, it's not. It's because you've been mean about the Villa. And I'm never mean about Everton.
True. Okay, I'm sorry.
I get away with it, despite saying that Wesley's terrible. I just get away with it, probably because I'm sat next to him.
I feel safe for the screen of a laptop.
Yeah.
The defence.
All right, good luck, everybody.
Good luck.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please rate and review us to help more people discover this podcast. And follow at Triple Captain 3 on Instagram and Twitter. Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.